Sorry?
Yeah, put it right there.
All right, guys, I'm going to start. There's no clock in this room, right? So, watch clock. And Marv is 10:15, 10:10. Okay, we'll go through. I had a student. The student was a student of mine 12 years ago in Skokie Yeshiva. And he was a bit confused with what he should do with his life, where he should go, what he should do, and the types of things that he was going to get into. He called me one day. And he said to me that he figured it out. He knows what he wants. He knows what he wants to do. He knows what he wants to do for a living from that point on. He wants to fight Jews for J. He wants to know stuff, and he wants to go up against Jews for J, and he wants to be that guy who answers all their questions. That's what he wants to do for a living. So I told him, I said, this guy specifically, I asked him, what do you know? What is it that you're really an expert in? And he told me he really knows Chumash well. So I told him, okay, can you tell me how many times the name Chanuch appears in Tanakh? Just the name Chanuch. Chanuch is a very common name. You know, it's known at least 4 times in Chumash. It's used 5 times in Tanakh. It's an awesome name. It means to rebuild, to do something. The word Chanuch is a great name. But he didn't know it. So I told him, here's what I want you to do. And I gave him a job. The job was, I want you to learn Shnayim Mikrodat HaTargum. Shnayim Mikrodat HaTargum means to go to the Chumash and to be able to know it really, really, really well. He said he doesn't know if he's going to be able to do it. He doesn't have any time. I said, do that after you finish. The first time I want you to call me. He finished it 3 years later. And he called me up and he said, I finished it. What did you want me to get out of it? I said, the fact that you're asking me this question, what did you want me to get out of it, means you didn't do it well enough. Do it again. So he did it that year. He finished it. He called me up. He said, is this what you wanted me to get out of it? He said, no. Do it again. He's done it every single year since that point, since 2012. It's 2022. He's about to finish it for his 8th time, I think it is, the 8th time altogether. He still hasn't gotten it. So this speech is really dedicated to him, this guy named Morty. This is what I wanted him to get out of it. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself, okay? A little bit about myself is, when I came to Yeshiva, I wasn't expecting much. When I first walked into Yeshiva, when I was my first year in Eretz Yisrael, yes, I went to Yeshiva when I was in high school, but when I first came to Eretz Yisrael, I went to Yeshiva the first time where I was sitting and learning all day long, I had no real expectations. There was nothing extreme that I wanted to do. I went in saying to myself, everybody goes to Eretz Yisrael. I really liked the rabbi who came to interview me before I went to Eretz Yisrael. And I figured I'd sit down and I'd learn a little bit so that when I go out, I'll be fine. And something changed. And I know the title of this year is How Shnayim Mikra Changed My Life. That's not exactly true. There are other things that helped along the way. But Shnayim Mikra was huge for me. Absolutely huge. And the reason why is this. You might have a question. You might have some problems. There might be some things that you see online where you see some people writing something about the Chumash, that it's fake, it was written by Ezra, it was written in the 6th century, it was put together by a bunch of people all together, that somebody else did. If you read Chumash Rashi, and I mean seriously read it, do all of it, even the Dikduk Rashis, the Rashis that are super, very, very difficult to understand. If you go through Chumash Rashi once, just once, you will have an answer to almost any silly question you can find on the internet. You'll have an answer to almost every question that you have. If you do it again, Chumash Rashi with Ramban, the Ramban's Parish on Chumash, maybe you're not there yet, and that's fine. The Ramban is extremely hard. The truth is, Rashi is extremely hard. But I'm guaranteeing you, this is a guarantee, you will have every answer in the world to any question that you want on Chumash. You have to understand it well. There are certain questions that are really difficult to understand just from Rashi. But Rashi has a mahalach. That means a way of looking through the entire Chumash from beginning to end that helps you understand everything you need to know. It's so important. The Chafetz Chaim himself, at the end of his life, he's over 85 years old, spent his days learning Chumash Rashi in Bereishis, just in Sefer Bereishis. This past year, they told us that they wanted to switch up in the high school. So they wanted to switch up how they're going to learn Chumash. up until this point, what they did was, is they always did the first two aliyahs of every parsha. First two aliyahs of every parsha, Chumash, Rashi. And they went ahead and they did it, and that was that. And we used to teach the Chumash Rashi in every single first two aliyahs. That's the ninth grade. The tenth grade would do the next two aliyahs. The 11th grade would do the next two aliyahs. And 12th grade was supposed to do the last three aliyahs. That was the concept, right? To get all seven aliyahs in. They just switched it up. They want us to start, not positive, but they want us to start from Bereishis and go Chumash Rashi for the first four parshas of the Torah. Bereishis, Noach, Lech Lecha, Vayera. They want my shir to do that for the high school kids. Right? And I told them, this is a very difficult ask. Because getting through Rashi and Bereishis and Noach is almost impossible. It's so difficult. There's so much in there. But it's by far the most exciting thing that I'm working on for this upcoming year. Because I love looking at Rashi. I love seeing the questions that are so simple. And my big deal, the one thing that I do every year, which I hope my guys are getting from it at the end of this year, is to be able to say, when you look at a Rashi, could you understand from what he said what his question was? What was he asking in the first place? So I'm going to get through. I'm going to try to go back from the beginning. There's an accessibility to Rashi that we have with no other Rishon. There's something that Rashi put in there. I'm going to tell you a quick story. It's from the Nitzutze Shimshon. It's a sefer that's written by Rav Shimshon Astropolia, who was around the time of the Kalmanicki massacres, Tach V'Tat, around 350 years ago. It was a horrible, horrible time for the Jews. They were being destroyed by the Cossacks in Russia. And that's when Rav Shimshon Astropolia lived. He was trying to figure out a certain Rashi in Parshas Vayeshev. Itok, Mo'imo, Klomar, Elov. It's a very strange Rashi. And he couldn't understand it. So he fasted for 3 days. 3 days. 3 days, three nights. 3 days and three nights. And he went to what was known as the grave of Rashi. To the kever of Rashi. And he prostrated himself. That means he put himself down on top of the grave. And he begged Rashi to help him understand what's going on there. And a voice came out to him. It appeared to him. It's as if it went into his ears. This voice came out. This voice said, you want to try to understand this Rashi? Rashi spent 365 days fasting, not including Shabbos and Yamim Tovim, to get himself ready to write his parish on Chumash. 365 days. And you want to just walk in and understand Rashi? You just want to come in and be able to do it? There's so much more to what happens with Rashi. There's so much more to it. There's so much that's there, that's hiding within Rashi. It's awesome. It's an awesome endeavor, something to be able to do. But it's accessible. It's right there in front of you. And in Pshat, it's there for you to be able to grab. You can learn anything you want there. Everything's right there in front of you. It's so absolutely huge. So I got into it. And one thing that really, really helped me, which I suggest for anybody, is I was asked in the middle of toward the end of my first year, to give a little chabura. Not in Gemara, that was something else entirely, but a little chabura in Rashi. A 10-minute Dvar Torah for a couple of the guys, to get guys together, and to give one little Dvar Torah that would be there for everybody. I never wrote them down. I wasn't into writing things down, and I definitely wasn't writing emails or stuff like that. That wasn't my thing, and I don't even know if email existed. So I wasn't like into doing that sort of stuff. But having three guys with me, and everybody together, us four, we were responsible for making a 10-minute Dvar Torah, looking up stuff, whether it was Rosh Ramban or another sefer that we did, it made me get all into it. And it made me super upset when a question was asked that I couldn't answer. So I started looking up more things. And then I started doing a little bit more. I bought a set of Mikros Gedolos. They still have them today. Those little blue ones. Not the Art Scroll ones. The Art Scroll ones are brand new. But the older ones that are like Hamaor, I think they're called. They were like small little blue ones. They were about this big. And I went through it and I was super happy when I finished certain Meforshim. Like the Orachayim HaKadosh, the Kli Yakar, the Ibn Ezra, the Sforno, the Rashbam, the Sifsei Chachamim, Rashi himself, the Ramban. Going through it, I started to understand things that I had never, ever thought about before. And I got more into it. In the middle of my second year, I was asked to give a shir, not just a chabura this time, but a shir for some of the first year guys on Thursday nights at 12 o'clock. And I got really into it. There was like a responsibility. I had to find Divrei Torah. So I would go around, I would ask people, what's your favorite Dvar Torah on the Parsha? Like third-year guys, fourth-year guys in my yeshiva. I went to Kolo guys, I went to Rebbeim. And I asked them, what's your favorite Dvar Torah? And then I tried to look it up. And that responsibility of having to give it over to others was huge for me. Because that meant that I had to do something that was awesome, something that was great. And yeah, there were some parshas which were really, really hard. Parshas Bahar is very difficult to find a Dvar Torah when you're a kid, to find a Dvar Torah that really, really works. Those were difficult. But I did everything I could and I tried harder. And it made me think like, but I can do this. I can really do this. And I started speaking. I started speaking to the guys around me. I started speaking to the guys who came in. And I tried my very best to be able to make a shiur that would be great for everybody. This is huge. Once you start on this track of doing something that really speaks to you, for me it was Shnai Mikra, but for you, whatever it is, try your very best to give it over to somebody. That doesn't just mean like a Shabbos table little thing. It means you have two or three guys over and you just say like, I have something cool I wanted to tell you guys, something that I was thinking about. And you become the leader, the guy who takes them, so to speak, under your wing and say, let's do this together. Let's have a Dvar Torah thing. Where it all of a sudden becomes something different. It's not about writing it necessarily, it's about telling it over. Because it's really about being able to express yourself and what it meant to you and to be able to make it as short as possible. I found very, very clearly that the less you speak, the better. Once it's a 3-minute Dvar Torah, people love it. If it becomes 4 minutes, people hate it. One of the best things that I started on a Friday night in my shul for early minions is I give a 2-minute Dvar Torah. One of my sons, Nochi, is totally into it. He times it every single week. And he tells me exactly how long it was. One time, the most that I've ever gone is 2 minutes and 32 seconds. He counted it. But I try my very best to keep it under 2 minutes. And you can practice this. You can do this on your own. You can say it out really quickly, and you can say it so quickly where it just flows, and it's just there, and it's done. You start this. I guarantee you are on your way to your own form of greatness. You're going to have something that's going to work at all times for anyone. And it's so awesome because it starts from the Torah itself, that little bit of Torah that you have over here. But there's more to it. I think there's so much more to Shnai Mikra than what meets the eye. There's patience involved. There are some parshios that are 30 psukim long. There are other parshios that are 176 psukim long. So the 30 pasuk parsha, you can run through it really quickly, especially if you're doing it in Hebrew and English in the beginning. You can run through it so quickly. The 176 pasuk parsha, Parshas Naso, takes a lot of work, a lot of work. And especially with Shnai Mikra Bechot Targum starts every year in Bereishis and Noach. Bereishis is 160 psukim. Noach is 160 psukim. It's super hard. It starts off really quickly. And if you're doing it with Rashi, the Rashis are crazy. They're huge right in the beginning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it on purpose. He doesn't want to make it easier for you. He wants you to try hard. He wants you to work hard. He wants you to do something. And Bereishis and Noach are there. All these parshas are there. They're waiting for you to be able to grab it and do it and start it. And all of a sudden, there's something awesome that comes with it. And that is, you gain patience. You learn how to wait for the next week. You learn how to do it every single time. Once a week, you have something on Monday, something on Wednesday, something on Thursday, sometimes on Shabbos. You gain it when it comes to patience itself. That's number one. Number two, there's discipline. The discipline is, like Daf Yomi, you can't go a day without doing it. You can't go a week without doing Shnai Mikra. Every time, and there's almost like a deadline, although there are opinions that can go a little bit further, but say that I have to finish Shnai Mikra by lunch on Shabbos. That tells you something. That means that you have to make yourself make sure that you have the right method to be able to finish it. And to be able to say one time, we're starting lunch 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, because I have to finish Shnai Mikra, that's discipline. It gets you ready for the next thing in which you can be disciplined in more things in your life. That's number two. Number three, clarity. Pure clarity. Somebody told me before I got here this year that one of the greatest things to see by Rav Shach, by the Rosh Shiva, is his sense of clarity. A sense of a knowledge that's very clear, very straight. You hear from him what he says, and you know what he means. That's a sense of clarity. Going through Chumash and understanding what you're reading, and I mean this, looking at it and saying to yourself, I know it's here. Our enemies do this, guys. Our enemies look at this. Knowing what it says. And when somebody quotes something saying like, oh my gosh, I know what that is. I know where that is. Gives you a sense of clarity that you've never had before. Something that makes you think, I can do so much more than this. It's awesome to have, because all of a sudden things become clear to you, not just in the Chumash itself, but other things that you do. So when you have these questions, these other questions that pop up, everything's there for you to understand. It's right in front of you, right in front of your face. This is Gemara in Brachos. This is Gemara in Brachos in Zandav Ches, and it's quoted by the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Pei Hei Aleph. Even though a person hears the entire parsha every week publicly, we're hearing it all together, one big parsha together. You're chayiv, look at the wording, you're chayiv to read every single week that parsha twice by Chumash, once with Targum, once with a translation. That's how the Shulchan Aruch puts it. The Shevet Alevi, that's Rav Vosner. Rav Vosner was a tremendous tzaddik who lived in Bnei Brak. He wrote in his Sefer Shevet Alevi, Chilchas Simen Membav, even kids should be doing it with Rashi. Once a person turns the age of chinuch, which means 7, 8, 9 years old, depending on the child, you should have them practice reading the Chumash and going through Chumash itself. One of the most inspiring things that I've seen in a very long time was when I was by Rav Nevensov for a mincha once, a mincha on Shabbos, I saw a kid get up there and lane the parsha, lane the haftorah, I should say. He wasn't allowed to read the parsha, he was a little young. But lane the haftorah, just almost like by heart, took a cloth, pulled it out. This kid was maybe 8 years old. It's like little kid, and like, you know, like little Israeli kids, like the little payas and everything. And he's like, and you're like, you don't understand a word the kid is saying. So you're just like reading, and it's super fast, and like didn't make any sense to anyone except that kid. That's how we read it. It was the coolest thing that I've ever seen. This little 8 year old is like flying through the Haftorah, just literally flying through it. Like, he knew it. He knew it. And I was like, if that kid at the age of 8 knows how to fly through a Haftorah, how in the world do I not know how to do that? At the time, I think I was 28 years old. And I started, I had already started it before, but I really, like, got into it. I started this Navi thing that I do. And I went through Nach. And I finished it. This is my third time through it with a group of guys to be able to know what I had. It's all right there in front of it. That's the idea behind getting into it and allowing that to be there. Shevet Levi says, even little kids, the bracha that's given for somebody that does Shnayim Mikra Vefet Targum, again, just going through the parsha of the week, that's it, is Marichin Lo Yamavu Shnosa. You'll have length of days and years. That means not only will your years be long, your days will be awesome as well. They say about the Sfas Emes, when the Sfas Emes passed away, he was 52 years old. Once he was buried, his son, the Imriamis, was walking with one of his children, and he said, my father had Arichos Yamin. To which his grandson turned to him and said, Abba, he lived to the age of 52. That's not Arichos Yamin. He didn't live a long life at all. 52 is a very short life. He said, I didn't say he had Arichos Shanin, long years. I said he had Arichos Yamin. His days were filled. His days were packed. If you start getting involved in Shnayim Mikra Vefet Targum, the Gemara promises you, Marich Lo, he lengthened for you, Yamav Shnosav. Your years will be longer, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu knows you want to spend it in the right way. Your days are longer, because you're going to know what to do every single day, with a chiyuv every single day. You're going to want to be involved in that. That's Marich Lo, Yamav Shnosav. That's the bracha that you're given. Why wouldn't we want it? The Sefer HaChassidim, written by Rabbi Yudah Chosid in the 11th century in Shin Aleph, says, don't have that as your kavanah. That should not be your intention in doing Shnayim Mikra Vefet Targum. But it's memeila, it happens automatic. Because once you want to do it, it automatically happens. You will live a long life and your days will be awesome. You'll feel like everything's better because you'll have something to be there for. Every day you say to yourself, did I do Rishon today? Did I do Sheni today? Did I do Shlishi today? Which we'll talk about in a second. That concept is right there. Rav Moshe, Ramosha Feinstein in his Chuvas, in Orachayim Chilakas, this in Simon Yud Zayin, says, even Talmidei Chachomin, who are Toloso Unaso, that means you're spending your whole life learning. These people are putter from davening. They have no chiyuv to daven. They don't have to go daven. They can just sit and learn all day long. Even somebody who's Toloso Unaso, that's his job, that's what he does every day. He has a chiyuv to do Shnayim Mikrovech HaTargum. He's putter from everything else. He's putter from Kriya Shema. Although he probably has to do one little thing to remind himself of Kriya Shema every day. But he's putter from everything else. No davening. There's no davening for such a person. This person has to do Shnayim Mikrovech HaTargum, says Rav Moshe. That's such an unbelievable chiddush, but it's so true. That's what it is. Shnayim Mikrovech HaTargum is a different type of chiyuv. It's a totally different type of chiyuv than we have. And in Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya, Simin Tov, Sif Aleph, says even in Aved, even a person who's in mourning for his parents, for his brothers, for his sister, whatever it is, Chas V'Shalom, they can still do Shnayim Mikrovech HaTargum. You're not allowed to learn. You're not allowed to learn when you're in Avelus. If you're in your Shiv Yemei Avelus, those 7 days, you can't do any learning. But you can still do Shnayim Mikrovech HaTargum. Says, obviously, if a person can do it on Shabbos, then you should do it on Shabbos. If it's after the Shiva, try to do it after the Shiva. But if you normally do Shnayim Mikrovech HaTargum, it's so important. It trumps Avelus. It trumps everything else that tells you the chashivas of what it means to do Shnayim Mikrovech HaTargum. And even with Rashi, if you normally do Rashi, you can learn Rashi even during the days of Avelos. A person has the ability to do it. So how does a person do Shnayim Mikrovech? What's the proper way of doing it? There are three ways that are mentioned by the Mishnah Berurah. I'm going to mention a fourth. The Mishnah Berurah says, number one, the first thing that a person can do is he reads every pasuk twice and then does a translation. We'll talk about that in a second. Once. Every pasuk, 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 translation, pasuk, pasuk, translation, pasuk, pasuk, translation throughout the whole parsha. There are svarim out there that are called just Shnayim Mikrovech HaTargum that have every pasuk in the parsha written out that way, so you can just read it straight. There are people that do that. The second way the Mishnah Berurah mentions is there are other people who do up until a parsha. That means up until a pei or a samt. You know, there's like that little break in the Torah. So whether it's a psukha or a suma, they go up until there. They read the whole parsha once, the whole parsha again, and then the targum. They do the targum after that. Whatever the translation is, that's number two. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, says, whenever there's a clear stopping point, you could stop. That might include Aliyahs. That might include Aliyahs. Not everybody agrees with Aliyahs, but if you do the Aliyahs, that also works. If you do something where it's one Aliyah every single day of the week, Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi'i, Chamishi, Shishi, Shvi'i. You know there are 7 days of the week, right? So it works out perfectly. So if you do that, there's a possibility that that also works. The Vilna Gaon seems to say that that works, and that's that. I personally don't do those. I do something which is easier for me, although I tried to do something different this past year. I've done where I go through the whole Chumash once, the whole Parsha once, the whole thing. Then I do the whole Parsha with the Tzibor. While the Baal Kori is reading it, I read it along with the Shleb Tzibor. And then I do Targum after that. I do the Targum right after that. That's another way of doing it. Whichever way you do, right, try to get it within that week itself. Within that week, by Shabbos lunch. If you can get it by Shabbos lunch, that's awesome. You can finish it beforehand, that's also awesome. In Reish Pei Hei Beis, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, a Yirei Shamayim, that means somebody who fears heaven, somebody who's awesome, will do not just the translation, but also Rashi. Now, I've done that many, many years, but it's hard. It's very difficult. That's a very time-consuming thing. If you finished it with Rashi a few times already, that's when a person maybe can switch back if he has other things he needs to do. But if you can finish Rashi every year, you're a Yirei Shamayim. You fear heaven. You're a tzaddik. That's awesome to be able to finish Rashis, or even parts of the Rashis, if you can do it. That's right there. No, it's okay. We're all sorry. We're fine, right? I want it to be 140 degrees in here. That was part of the point. It's like, shows your dedication to Torah. That's that. Now, what about English? Can you do it in English? Are you allowed to learn Shnayim Mikrovech HaTargum in English? Can you do it? Targum technically is Targum Unklus. What about English itself? So I'm going to quote you the Mishnah Berurah. Pay attention, because there are two Mishnah Berurahs on this subject, which I think clearly leads me to believe one way is 100% true. He says the following. He says, Shar Laz, any other language, Shumafarish Rakis Amilos Labad, that only translates the words alone. Lo Yotzi Yidei Chovaso, you're not Yotzi Yerfiyu, but it's just that translation. b'makom targum, in place of the targum. L'vishat targum mafarish kamet varnish ein lavim mitocha mikra. Because the targum explains a bunch of things that you would not get by just reading the Chumash itself. So the Mishnah Berurah says you should read Targum Onkelos or Yonas ben Uziel, because that's going to explain something you would not have known otherwise. Now there's another Mishnah Berurah right afterward in Hey. And he says about you, mi she'eno bar hachi, she'yavin is perish Rashi. If you're not able to understand all of perish Rashi, because that's hard, roi likros beferush ha'torah she'yesh b'losh and ashkenaz bizmaneinu. You should learn the explanation of the Torah with something that's in the language of Ashkenaz, which would have been German back then, or what they called Yiddish in our times. Kigon Sefer Tse'enu Re'enu, the Sefer Tse'enu Re'enu was written for people to read it in another language. Hamevarim es aparshal pikurish Rashi, the Shar Chazal, that explain Rashi, that explain the way that Rashi understands the Chumash, as well as other Chazal, hamevinuyim al yisoda Talmud, that are built on the foundations of the Gemara itself. So I would tell people, if that's true, that next Mishnah Berurah, right, that you could do something that's based on a parish of Rashi, Art Scroll is the absolute best way to do Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum. Art Scroll says in their introduction, which nobody has ever read except for me, right, that they will translate everything based on how Rashi translated the Chumash. Their basic English translation is not an exact translation. It is not the King James Bible. It's not like that. It's not the Mitsuda. The Mitsuda is an exact translation. Rashi explains the psukim according to the way that Art Scroll translate, says it the way that Rashi understood it, and therefore reading it through is like reading a parish of the Parsha with Chazal, and is exactly what the Mishnah Berurah is talking about in Sivkat Hay. So I tell this to people, Lichat Chila, before you get into Onkelos, and Onkelos will definitely help at some point, because once you start getting used to Aramaic, you will be totally into learning Gemara and Yerushalmi. It really helps you to understand Aramaic once you start getting into it. But when you're first trying it, you want to try it right now, this week, let's say. We're starting with Parshas Matos. It's Matos Masse this week, right?
No,
it's Ma'o, right, Eretz Yisrael. Matos, with Parshas Matos. It's a short enough Parsha. Try it. Go through the Chumash twice and the English translation in Art Scroll once. If you can't find an Art Scroll Chumash, then buy one in Gula on Friday. It's like $20. You just spent that on waffles. Okay? You're fine with spending $20 on a Chumash, right? If you're going to spend $20 on waffles. The waffles are great. They're not that good. They're not like Art Scroll good. Okay? So you can do that. That's one way of doing it. If not, probably find something on your phone. That doesn't work on Shabbos. Okay? So don't do that on Shabbos. That's a really, really, really bad idea. There are people who have tried that before. They're no longer on Kola. So that's not a great idea to get involved with. I don't want that. I don't want that to be involved. Okay? I don't want anyone saying that about me. Try to find that English translation that you can use and go through the Chumash once with that Perush that goes all the way through. Now, is Targum Onkelos a great idea? Targum Onkelos is a great idea. But if you're not going to get anything out of it, I want you to figure something out. I want you to know something in the Parsha. When somebody says something about what's in Parshas Matos, what is it talking about? What happened this week? You should be able to say something in the Parsha. And even more so, if you can get a commentary down, something there, where you can say to a guy at a Shabbos table, say a quick Dvar Torah. Again, keep it within a minute. You get that 1 minute just translate something that you have, that's awesome. Absolutely awesome. It's all your parents want. They don't want your 25-minute Divrei Torah that you got from some big rabbi. They want the 1 minute Divrei Torah. First of all, as a parent, I love the 1 minute Divrei Torah. It's a 20-minute Divrei Torah where staying awake is really, really difficult, and it would be really helpful if I had ping pong balls with like little black things on them that I could put, you know, right on top of my eyes. It's really hard to pay attention to a 20-minute Dvar Torah. Really, really hard. But to be able to have that 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes at the most, that is awesome. That is awesome. So have it down. And if you feel you're ready for this, if you're ready for the next level, then go for it. Try Rashi. Try Rashi in one Aliyah. Just in one Aliyah. And see what you got. They have unbelievable Rashis, not just the Art Scroll with the Chumash Rashis, whatever it is, but even in the regular Mitsuda Art Scroll, Mitsuda translations, there are Rashis that are all translated. You can get it down, and you'll be able to go through it. You don't have to read it in Hebrew. Just read it in English for now until you get it, and then eventually get down. So I would tell people 100%, that's mutter l'chachila to be able to get involved with. And the Mishnah Berurah says another thing, in etcherlo shelo yatsik, if it's possible not to stop in between, to be able to shnei mikros straight, to go from the beginning till the end, who told the up and the ode. The chayrin isi medaktikim also came. I've seen medaktikim that do this, people that are super careful about everything. And somebody who's a bal nefesh, somebody who has a soul, who's really into his stuff, that's what a person like this should do. It's a huge, huge idea of trying to get involved over here. So I'm going to just say, the results of this, the results of my starting Shnei Mikra Vecha Targum has led for me to have not just, I mean, this is not like a bragging point, this is a truth that I want people to know. I have tens of thousands of Dibrei Torah. Tens of thousands. I have over 1,200 shiurim online in Chumash. 1,200 shiurim, each one being like about 20 minutes to a half an hour each. I have thousands upon thousands of pages of notes, both handwritten before I realized that computers existed, and then on computer as well. Like, I can show it to you. Like, these are things that I'm super proud of because I've been working on it since 1998. And since that time, I've said to myself, I want to have everything there out there. I want to do it. And I used to even print out everything that I would write up per year and put it in a little thing so I could see it. So it's not just in cyberspace where I can look at it and have it right in front of me. Not so I need to look it up, but just know this is what I accomplished. And now I have an entire shelf in my house that has all my notebooks from 1998 up until 2012, I think it was. 2013. And the reason why 2013 is because I was playing basketball and I punched the wall because I was really upset about something, broke my hand, and that was the first time I started using the computer. So that is a true story. 100%. It was a boxer break. I thought there was a little thing behind it, and I punched it really hard. It was at the old Academy building, for those who know Chicago. And I punched the wall, and that was not smart. That's a very, very dumb thing to do. Don't punch walls. That's just a very, very silly thing to do. And therefore, but it did help me get into computers, but I have this whole shelf. It's literally notebook after notebook after notebook with everything that I learned inside there. And some of the stuff, when I look back at it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did this. I can't believe I learned it. Once you start getting involved with this, it leads to so many other great things. So many other great things. And I think that's something that everybody should have for themselves. To have that zitzfleisch, that ability to sit down and do it, that patience, I would call it, the patience to allow you, the discipline to keep up, keep doing it week after week after week, to be able to finish it even when it's super hard and take it as a challenge when it's in 150 pasuk parsha and say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to finish it and accomplish it, finish it, and say, like, I did what I was setting out to do. And number three, for that clarity, because who doesn't want clarity? Who doesn't want the ability to be able to look at anything and say, I know this, I got it, I can do this on my own, I don't need anybody else's help, because I've seen this twice, three times. And if you started now, for many of you, you're years ahead of where I was. Years ahead. Years ahead of me. And that's going to help you so much when you go on, that when you do start to turn yourself into the Talmud Chacham that you know you're going to be, the Talmud Chacham that you know you want to be, then all of a sudden you'll have that head start working for yourself, knowing that you have this basis, almost like a base on the bottom, that allows you to be able to build yourself up. Because my last time that I'm speaking here, so we got like 4 minutes. Does anybody have any quick questions they want to ask in 4 minutes before we go to Mar? Yeah.
So going to Shnei Mikra by Aliyah is like a big limit thing?
According to the Gra works, according to the Shabrua, it's not a Shita. I would tell somebody, do it until you can get it better.
So like I'm like a one day like Aliyah type thing, but like I want to like
if you can switch it.
One day.
If you can switch it eventually, try to switch it, but you don't have to. For right now, you still have the gong to go. You still have the gong.
What?
To get it from one pack, like a pay to a pay to a pay to a pay. You just have to have like little, you know, those little sticky guys, you know, in each place.
There are like parshas, Hebrew ones, with like all like the little breaks and like a bajillion of them.
Yeah, so don't do that. Like, do a bunch of them together. They'll probably do the best. Yeah.
Is this stone edition from Moshe Art School or is that?
Stone is Art School. So I would call that for sure. Yeah.
If somebody's been doing that for a while and they don't feel like that they have as much of a connection to the Limud as they could. Do you have any suggestions?
Do you finish Rashi already? The Ramban. By far the Ramban. Like, there's so much there. Once you understand the way the Ramban looks at things, it turns around to everything. But I would say, find a parish that works for you. Whatever the parish is that works for you, do it. You know what really turned my dad really loved? Rabbi Victor Miller. He has entirely in English. It's an awesome sefer, and he loved going through it. Eventually, he built himself up to the Miyam Loes, but he loved that book. So find something that works for you that you can go through. I would tell you that. Yeah.
So what did you want your student?
After finishing Shnei Mikra'ach HaTargum? Do you guys know yet? Clearly. That's what I wanted. I wanted him to understand why he was doing things. I wanted him to be so clear that it's just like, I get it now. I think I'm going to get it. I didn't want him to just be like, now I know Chumash. I didn't want him to be like, now I know Rashi. I wanted him to be super clear about everything that he was doing so that things were just clear inside his head and that he was clear about his hashkafas, his ideas, everything like that. That's what I wanted. JJ.
You can put on the spot, but there's like 2 minutes left. Let me get one of your 2 minute tartaras.
You want a 2 minute tartara?
Yeah,
like a really crazy one?
Yeah. Last time hearing you speak.
So I want to
In Parshas Matos. Right? In Parshas Matos. You can time it. I just need a. Is there a chumash right here? I don't want to say it without a pasuk in front of me.
I'll be on top of that right
now. Start as soon as I'm ready. Ready? Hold on. I just got to find it. I just don't like reading them out loud if I don't have it like straight out. Hold on. It talks about toward the beginning of the parsha. It says that you should fight against the Midyanim, the Kismosam. Here we go. Parak Lamed Aleph Pasuk Bet says Nekomi Kmas Bnei Yisrael Mi'as Midyanim Acharei Yaseh Hanafa. Take vengeance for Bnei Yisrael against the Midyanim. Afterward, you will die. So the question is the following. It says, it shouldn't be achar tiyaseh kamarachal, it should be v'achar tiyaseh kamarachal. And afterward, then you're going to die. Right? Why does it say achar tiyaseh kamarachal? Number two, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't fight against the Midyanim. He sent Pinchas to go fight against the Midyanim. But he's told straight out by Hashem that he's supposed to fight against the Midyanim. What's pshat over here? The answer is, Moshe Rabbeinu came back one time as a Gilgal, but it wasn't as a full-time Gilgal. He came back within Gido. It's based in a Gemara of Rosh Hashanah Daf Chafei, if you know what I'm talking about, great. He came back as Gidon. Gidon is one of the Shoftim. You guys all know Gidon, right? Gidon is one of the Shoftim. Gidon went ahead and fought against the Midyanim, the nation that Moshe Rabbeinu was never able to fight against. So this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him. Nekom Nekmas B'nei Yisrael Mi'as Midyanim. You will eventually take revenge for B'nei Yisrael from the Midyanim, but it'll happen Achar Tiyaseh Kalanecha, after you die. You're going to come back as Gidon, and at that point, that's when you're going to be able to fight them. There was one other nation that fought together with Midyanim. You know who it was? Amalek. It was the other nation that Moshe Rabbeinu never fought against. That's the idea behind it. How much time?
1 minute.
1:15. Makes sense, right? Isn't that a cool one? Okay.